Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to learn the halachas that relate to visiting the sick. Bikur Cholim, this is Simon Kuf, Tzadi, Gimel 193 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at a few basic concepts today, and some really important ideas. This is a very critical issue when it comes to being a Jew, is being able to visit the sick. So let's look at the first topic, which is who should visit the sick. What's the mitzvah? So what is the source for the mitzvah of visiting sick? The mitzvah is v'halachta b'drachav, is going in the ways of God. And we know that Hashem visits the sick. We see this explicitly when Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayera to visit him after his bris milah. And we are being godly. We are following in the ways of God by doing such a thing, by visiting the sick. This is very important to realize this. God is mevaker cholim, so are we. Who should visit the sick person immediately and who should wait? So any relatives and close friends should are allowed to visit a sick person right away. Those who are more on acquaintance level should wait 3 days before bursting in. And this is only true if it's not a sudden illness. If it's a sudden illness, then even the acquaintances may come right away, because perhaps it's more dangerous. May an important person visit somebody of lesser status? Yes, great people should visit less important individuals. Social stature, respect, they should absolutely do that. How often may one visit a sick person? One may visit many times a day, as long as it's not a burden on the patient. That's a very important rule in general. This is patient-centric. It is not about the person visiting. Should one visit a sick enemy? The answer is, in this case, no, because it would appear like they're gloating. However, just as a footnote, one may attend the funeral of one's enemy, but not to visit them. Not the appropriate time to fix things. What if one must choose between visiting the sick and comforting mourners? So if both are possible, one should visit the sick first to pray for them. And if only one can be done, not the other one, then it's best to comfort mourners, which takes precedence. May one visit a non-Jewish sick person? So yes, this is allowed for the sake of Darchei Shalom, if it's going to be for peace or relationships. But the Chiyuv Bikur Cholim does not, it intrinsically is a mistake in such a situation. Okay, move to our second concept, how to visit. This is so important. What is the law about sitting in the sick person's presence? So a person should be below the level of the sick person. So if the sick person is lying on the ground, the visitor should not sit on a chair higher than them. If the patient's on a bed, then the person may sit on a chair. So, but it shouldn't be hovering around and standing over them. And this is because the Shechina is Nimtza Mirasha Soshal Chola, that the divine presence is found above the head of the sick person. What is the main purpose of visiting the sick? So there's 3 points. Number one is to see the physical and emotional needs of the patient. So if they don't have enough, water in the room, they don't, the room's not clean. What else it is to offer support, to give them strength emotionally. And number three is to pray for them. What happens if I did the first two? So I went there, I saw their needs, and I gave them a little chizuk. We told a few jokes, but I didn't pray for them. In that case, one did not fulfill the mitzvah completely. This is incomplete, because praying is an integral part. Many people do Bikur Cholim and they forget this point, or it's uncomfortable for them to say, let me just offer a tefillah for you, let me daven for you, or Hashem should bless you that you should have a refuah shlema. When during the day should one avoid visiting, and why? So one is not supposed to visit in the first 3 hours and the last 3 hours of the day. The reason is because in the first 3 hours of the day, person is actually usually stronger and more upbeat. And then you won't be inspired to daven so much for them, because you think they'll be all right. But later on in the day, it's not so easy. And at the end of the day, in the last 3 hours of the day, person oftentimes feels very weak. And when you see them, then you'll be like, oh my goodness, it's not worth praying, because this person's in such a dire state. So it's important to go in the middle time. There's also emotionally for them at the time where they're able to actually have the time and energy to deal with people. In what language should one pray for the sick? So if one's not in the presence of the sick person, one needs to pray in Hebrew. But if one is in the presence, one can do it in any language. Why is this? This is again a reflection of the fact that in the presence of the sick person, one is with the Shekhinah. How should one phrase the prayer for the sick? So one should include the sick with Pesoich Shar Cholei Israel, with the rest of the sick of Israel. Why is this? The answer is because a prayer is more effective when it's said on behalf of many than on behalf of one. Does one need to mention the name of the Chole? So when one's not with them, yes. But when one is with them, one does not need to. And this again reflects the notion of that the Shekhinah is found in their presence, and one does not need an intermediary to carry the name. We just saw 3 halachas which relate to the fact that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is found with the sick person. That's a very profound idea. That means to say that Hashem, ironically, is found more in situations where a person sometimes feels more abandoned. It's important to emphasize that to those going through difficult times. What should be said on Shabbos when visiting the sick? So we say, Shabbos Yom Yizrael, Kerufua Krova Lavoi. We're not allowed to daven right now, but we hope that the Rufua is going to be coming in soon. What should visitors discuss with the patient? They should speak wisely and reassure him, advise him to handle personal matters, and say to them, don't worry, it's not, there's no like ayin hara about putting one's affairs in matters, and it's not going to make things worse because of doing this. Should a sick person be informed of a relative's death? God forbid. So one should, if it's going to cause distress, one should avoid that distress. And even if they know, they should not be told to take kriya, because we don't want to do anything which is going to worsen the situation of this sick person. Is crying or eulogizing permitted near the patient? No. This is also not allowed. Even if the deceased is unrelated, because it causes pain to the patient and makes them ruminate on their own frailty and end of life, and we don't want to weaken their resolve. Who should be visited in person? Who should not be visited to avoid embarrassment or difficulty? So those who have intestinal issues, stomach issues, because it's embarrassing to them if they can't control their bowels. Also people have eye ailments or headaches or critical conditions where conversation is difficult. One should perhaps inquire from the outside, i.e. call, i.e. send a text, but there's appropriate times and not appropriate times. Again, this is not about the person visiting, it's about the person who is receiving the visit as well, and it's important that it's framed in such a way. We move to our third concept today, and that is putting one's affairs in place. So when a person passes away, lo aleinu, there is a natural distribution of their assets through the process of Yerusha. May one invest one's estate or gifts in a way that completely takes it away from their family before that moment? The answer is no, that's Havaras Nachla. You're not supposed to take away all of your Yerusha from those who deserve it. One needs to make sure that there is some for them, even if one is intending to give one's estate to charities or other foundations as well. May a pious person be a witness or advise that a will excludes the heirs? And the answer is no. A person should not be an accomplice to that process, even if the heirs are rishaim, are bad people, and the person that they're going to divert their estate to are becoming unworthy people. It's not the appropriate thing to be facilitating that. What should be done if the sick person has minors, or the person's married and has a pregnant wife? So a guardian needs to be appointed during their lifetime to take care of the children. One has to make sure to ensure that everything is taken care of, all the issues are wrapped up. May the patient make a kinyan or send relatives on Shabbos if things are getting very serious or one's concerned, one won't make it to the end of Shabbos. The answer is yes, a kinyan may be made, and one may hire a non-Jew to bring relatives even on Shabbos if it's the end of life. What other affairs should be set up? So I'm just going to add here a little bit beyond what the kitzur, the purview of the kitzur. So number one is a person should set up a healthcare proxy, a halachic healthcare proxy. There are many options that are available, but it's very important to have this discussion before it's necessary. One should also ensure that one's legal will is up to date and in order. One should also make sure that there is a halachic will. If one's legal will does not follow halacha, so it's important to have a halachic will which ensures that the two are aligned. One should also ensure that one has bought a plot of land for burial and that information is updated and is made available to family members. One should also make sure there's money set aside for burial arrangements. If one has the intention to use a certain funeral home, it's a good idea to have a conversation and let the children know so there's not going to be confusion later on. And there's not going to be difficulties when it comes to this as well. And finally, one should also try to put one's social affairs in order and actively ensure that one has done the best to resolve old disputes and not leave this world, God forbid, in an untowards fashion. We move to our last topic today, and that is the notion of vidui. The Sifrei, the Midrash, teaches us the name of Rabbi Nosson. When a person becomes guilty, they will articulate this, they will confess. That all mesim needs to do vidui. And the Mishnah describes that anybody who does vidui, he has a chelek, has a place in the world to come. And we learn this from Achan. We learn in the 7th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua that there was a fellow from the tribe of Yehuda who stole from the cherem of the city of Yericho, of Jericho. And as a function of this, there was a loss in battle, and it was divinely found out through the goral, through the that he was the one who was culpable, and he accepted his vidui, and the psukim make it clear that ultimately he was accepted into the world to come because of this as well. So how does this work? So what should a visitor or close family member do if they want to introduce this topic to a person who's in a state where it's more complicated? So they should encourage confession in a gentle way, and they should say, and this is the way this was talked about in Shulchan Aruch, he says, Hisvadev alti dag mize. It's a good idea to do vidui, don't worry about it. Many people have done vidui and have got better and they're living wonderful lives. But there were many people who didn't do vidui and then they died and they lost the opportunity. It's a great merit to do vidui. And that may be the merit necessary to live. A person who does vidui, does confession, is going to have a chelik in the world to come. And it's important to do this earlier than later, just because on the one hand, one doesn't want to emotionally unbalance the patient. On the other hand, if a person is in a state where they're no longer able to do vidui, it's less meaningful if somebody else is doing it for them. If a person's able to say it themselves, that's the way it should be done. What if the patient cannot speak well or only very little? So they should say at the very least, they should say, let my death be an atonement for all my sins. What if even that is too hard for them to say it? So they should be able to say it in their heart. A person is able to do teshuva in their heart. Should this be said? Should the video be said in front of one's family? And the truth be told, it depends. Some family are resilient and able to be able to do this, but there are sometimes members of the family who will suddenly get very emotional about this and burst out crying. Those members of the family should not be present if video is being done, because it's going to break the resolve of the patient themselves. Oftentimes, the patient are much more cognizant of what's going on than the actual people, than the family themselves. They're very much coming to terms with this, much more than people around them, but the people around them should not break their resolve. What is the confession? What is the actual vidui? So, the one that is recorded in the Kitzur reads as follows: I'm admitting to you, Hashem, the God of my fathers, and my God, and the God of my fathers, Shirufuasi biyodcha umetzasi biyodcha, that my healing and my death are in your hands. Yiratzom fenecha shdirpo eni rufu shlem Hashem, please let me heal a full healing. V'im amos, and if God forbid I die, tehimi sasi kaporla kol achad chatosi v'avonos chatoim v'avonos b'shoyim shechatosi v'shovesi v'shapasha eshli lefonecha. There be an atonement for all the sins and the mistakes and the intentional sins that I did in my life. V'sen chelki began eden, let my portion be in the Garden of Eden, and let me have a portion in the world to come that is hidden for those who are righteous. The Kitzur, if you want to extend it and do a little more, you're allowed to, like the Yom Kippur one, and you can find this video. He quotes the Sefer Ma'avir Yabok and the Chochmas Adam. There's longer videos which are found as well, and the Ramban talks about this in Torah Sa'adam. Is anything else which needs to be said? So there are other paragraphs which can be said around this time, and they are as follows. They are included in the Tehillim Kuf Chof Aleph, Kuf Lamed, Tzadi Aleph. Those are 121, 130, and 91. Yigdal Adar Olam Ana Bekoach and Al Kena Kaveh at the end of Aleinu. There, those are paragraphs which are said around this time in transition, in the process of transition, they can be sung. They often song has a more penetrating effect than does words themselves at this point in time. With this, we conclude, and Bezrat Hashem will move on in halacha to the next stages afterwards. Have a wonderful, meaningful day.